thousands of living men and women cooperating at the minimum. He trusted their ability to know their own business. He had faith in their courage, their good sense, and their initiative. He drew all those things together to make the farm program.
Mr. Ward is hitting the nail right on the head when he makes that point. Under the Republican administration, for example, the renters didn't have a chance. No attention was paid to their special problem. And the worst of it was, the Republicans do nothing policy about agriculture, making renters out of more and more farmers all the time. The insurance companies and banks and loans associations kept foreclosing on more farms every day. Many of these concerns actually did not want the farm, but they had to take them because the owners simply couldn't make them pay out. As a result, farm tenants increased all over the United States, and nothing was done about it until Franklin Roosevelt and Henry Wallace came along.
Funny thing about it is this. Some people call Henry Wallace a visionary, the kind of a fellow who sits around and dreams up dreams, a fine man and all that, but impractical. Well, if he is a dreamer, I do hope we get more like him in Washington. I have been cooperating in this farm program ever since it was started. I have profited a lot from it, too, both in a financial and in an educational way. We farmers know that we ought to conserve our soil, apply lime and fertilizer, rotate our crops, and grow legumes. But until we had the farm program, it was hard for us to carry out those practices because our income was too low, and it was a dreamer who helped us to get practical things like that. Believe me, I'm for Henry Wallace, the dreamer.
As Mr. Ward says, farmers had too low an income and the Republicans to treat their land right. And the same low income prevented a runner from buying a farm and becoming an owner. The farm income was so low that we could never get enough money ahead at one time to make a payment on the farm. The bankers didn't consider us very good risk, and so we couldn't get any money at the bank. But even if we could have borrowed at the bank, the interest rates were so high, we couldn't make enough on the farm to pay off the loan.
Speaking of farm income, I have received moderate payments from the farm program, Mr. Allen. But I want to tell you that the increase in my income has not all been due to AAA payments, but been due to better prices, and it's the income that counts. That's something a lot of people don't seem to understand about the farm program, that it is not just a system of payments, but that the payments are part of a real plan, and a plan that is working practically for improving the income of farmers through a better supply and price situation.
Yes, President Roosevelt and Henry Wallace gave us a chance to build a farm program to increase farm income. And that's the first and most important step in helping farmers, whether they're owners or renters. The second thing they did was to bring interest rates down where they belong. The third thing they did was to make term credits available for farmers for the first time. And then, speaking as a renter myself, I want to say that the fourth thing they did was to give renters a direct program of tenant help, known as the Farm Security Administration.
That brings up the thing you were speaking about a little while ago, Mr. Durbin, about you and your wife having your heart set on owning a farm of your own. For as I understand it, the Farm Security Administration is especially interested in folks who have that ambition.
That's right, Mr. Allen. We've got our mind set on owning the 120-acre farm we're now operating. And thanks to Franklin Roosevelt and Henry Wallace, we now have high hopes of really owning it. Let me tell you, I was just about licked until I got some help from the Farm Security Administration in 1934. The Farm Security Program gave me credit. Now I'm giving the credit back. Now I am paying back the loan. I've got livestock and machinery. My wife and I have worked out a plan of operating the farm. and my wife does wonders with a vegetable garden, the cows and the chickens. She feeds our family of four on only about $7.50 worth of store goods a month. The rest of the food comes off the farm.
Some of the things Mr. Durbin has just been saying, Mr. Allen, remind me of what you were saying a while back about how Mr. Wilkie figured that hard work and proper management were what we needed to make farming pay. And the funny thing about it is that's exactly what we farmers are putting into our business under the Roosevelt Wallace Farm Program. You can see that it is real management that Durbin and his wife are putting in. But all the management in the world isn't any good unless the fellow has something to manage. And the way things are going under the Republicans, farmers are going broke by the thousands through no fault of their own, and the Republicans just sat back and watched it happen as if it were a circus.
And part of the hard work in managing, I figure, has to be put into the jobs of backing the men who have backed us. Roosevelt and Wallace have given my wife and me a chance. We are now on our way up, and someday we expect to have a place of our own for us and our children. Without the Farm Security Program, I don't know how we could do it. And frankly, Mr. Allen, I'm afraid Mr. Wilkie wouldn't take much interest in the small fry if we were elected president. So I'm going to cast my vote for the men I know I can depend on, President Roosevelt and Henry Wallace.
And speaking of people we can depend on under the Roosevelt Wallace Farm Program, we have practical farmers elected by ourselves running the farm program in the counties. We have farmers running the farm program in the state. And we have actual farmers running the farm program in the regional offices in Washington. We have an Iowa farmer as national administrator of the farm program. We have an Indiana farmer as secretary of agriculture. And if we elect Roosevelt and Wallace, we'll have the cooperation of Henry Wallace as president of the Senate, and we'll have the support of President Roosevelt in the White House.
Sometimes this cooperation of farmers with each other and with Washington that you and Mr. Durbin have been speaking about comes out in mighty human ways, Mr. Ward. For example, I've got in my hand an Associated Press story from Glencoe, Minnesota, dated October 23. Which makes me realize how many ways neighbors are working together under the New Deal. Let me read it to you. Quote, "The tiny daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Edward Lassen began getting special attention early. She weighed only 1 pound 3/4 when she was born at the Lassen farm home, a mile from the nearest power line. She was immediately placed in a makeshift incubator, warmed with jars of hot water. Then the County Welfare Board learned about the case and appealed to the McLeod County Cooperative Power Association, a rural electrification organization. Workmen rushed the job of stringing a mile of wire from the nearest power line to the house and connected it with an electrical incubator. The baby was reported doing very nicely today."
That's a mighty good case, all right, for having power lines out in the country where they'll do farmers some good.
And until we have the New Deal Rural Electrification Program, we know how it was with the private utilities. The group that Mr. Wilkie represented so faithfully all during the years of the farm program. The private utilities wouldn't bother to run their lines out into the farm territory. They preferred to stick around the cities where the gravy was thicker. Then when the TVA and the REA started, Mr. Wilkie, as head of the billion-dollar Commonwealth and Southern Corporation, turned in and did all he could to break up the TVA and REA. I wonder when Farmer Lassen's daughter gets out of the incubator and grows up, I wonder if by that time the private utilities will have dressed up some new spokesman who can persuade her that it was a bad thing that when she was born, the farmer's own power cooperative was able to step in and give her a chance to survive.
Oh, I guess by that time the big holding companies will have some news stories thought up.
Yes, I'm afraid they will, Mr. Ward. But in the meantime, I'm awfully glad I've had this chance to talk things over with you and Mr. Durbin. And I do believe that millions of farmers all over the country feel the way you two farmers do. And that as a result, the fancy yarns of the Power Trust and their chief spokesman who is now the Republican candidate for the presidency, won't get very far on November 5th.
I don't believe those Power Trust yarns and Wall Street yarns will get very far with farmers or small-town businessmen. Big business never did much for us farmers. It certainly never did much for the little businessman. Farmers in the county and businessmen on Main Street won't fall for the Power Trust, I'm sure of that.
Yes, and I think you men have brought it out mighty well, that all classes of the national community have every reason to go to the polls November 5th and support the Roosevelt Wallace Farm Program. For while it is naturally of the greatest direct concern to the farmer, as it was designed and carried out to meet his special problem, it is also of immense importance to all the people of the United States. What helps one group of legitimate producers helps all. Roosevelt and Wallace didn't design the farm program to give a boost to parasites. They designed it to help real producers and honest-to-goodness consumers. And it has helped them, all of them. Therefore, it is my firm belief that when Tuesday, November 5th, comes round, not only will the farmers go to the polls and cast their votes overwhelmingly for Roosevelt and Wallace, but members of all other legitimate groups will vote likewise.
You have been listening to a program of the National Committee for Agriculture. The program was sponsored by the National Democratic Committee. Next week, there will be similar programs. This is the National Broadcasting Company.